Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Challah, and we are up to lesson number 18, in which we will study Maseches Challah Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin and Ches, 4th Perek, 7th and 8th Mishnayos. To understand Mishnah Zayin, there needs to be a little background about a region northeast of Eretz Yisroel, which is known in Chazal as Surya. Surya is known in Tanakh as the country of Aram, northeast of Eretz Yisroel's borders, and David HaMelech captured portions of Aram before he really completed his conquest of Eretz Yisrael proper. And therefore, the land of Surya, although David annexed it to Eretz Yisrael, is not considered like Eretz Yisrael in every respect. For some background from Tanakh, I suggest that you look in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud and in Divrei HaYomim Aleph Perek Yud Tes. Surya has an intermediate Kedusha. It is not quite like Chutz La'aretz, like outside of Eretz Yisrael totally, and it is not quite like Eretz Yisrael proper. If a person buys a field in Surya, a Jewish person buys a field in Surya, then Surya pretty much has a din like Eretz Yisrael. The owner, the Jewish owner of the field, must give truma and maasros and keep the laws of Shemitah of Shvias. However, if there is land in Surya which is owned by a goy, and a Jew purchases peros from the field in Surya from the goy, then that produce is potter from Maaseh. Because in Surya, everyone agrees, Yesh kinyan la'akum la'havkiya min ha'masros. In Surya, the fact that a goy owns a field means that the field is not obligated in Maasros. Our Mishnah is considering the situation of a field which is owned by a goy in Surya, but a Jew has arranged with this goy to be his oris. Oris means, I guess you would call it in English, a sharecropper. An oris is a person who goes over to the owner of the field and says, look, I will till the soil, I will do all the farming, and I will keep 10%, 20%, 50% of the produce for myself. So in this situation, the goy owns the land, but the Jew has, in some sense, a portion of the land because he's working it and he has the right to a certain percentage of the crop. So is he obligated in Maasros or not? Here we have a machlokas. Yisroel shehoyu arisim lagoyim besuria. If Yisroel are arisim, sharecroppers, to a goy who owns property in this area called Surya, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev peirosehem b'ma'asros uvashvias. Rabbi Eliezer feels that, look, the Jew has a portion, he has a percentage of the crops, and therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's as if he owns the land, and he has to give ma'asros and conduct itself according to the laws of Shemitah, of Shvias. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Eliezer's ultimate reason is because the Mishnah Chazal do not want Jews to become arisim to goyim. They do not want Jews to settle in Surya. They'd rather have them settle in Eretz Yisrael proper. And therefore, they say that if a Jew becomes an oris to a goy who owns property in Surya, he is obligated to give ma'asros and to conduct himself according to the laws of Shvias on the seventh year. For Rabban Gamliel poter, Rabban Gamliel says no. The karka, the land, belongs to a goy. The oris has no real ownership of that land. He only has a share in the crops. And therefore, he is not obligated to give masros. He's not obligated to keep the laws of shvius. The land belongs to a goy. A goy's land in Surya is not Eretz Yisrael as far as this is concerned. Now, suppose we have in Surya a Jew who is engaged in baking challah in Surya. Does it have a din of Eretz Yisrael, or does it have a din of Chutz La'aretz? Now, the halacha, as we have been learning, is that if a person has in Eretz Yisrael flour and water and is making dough, he's obligated to give challah to the kohen. However, in Chutz La'aretz is different. Bona fide Chutz La'aretz, China, Kansas. There, midin ha-mishnah, as far as the din was in the time of the Mishnah, once again, this is not the halacha nowadays, but in the time of the Mishnah, in Chutz La'aretz, if you would prepare dough, you would give two challahs. One, let me give a little brief introduction. All of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are considered Tomeim. Eretz Ha'amim is Tomei. It says, Midrabbonon. The Rabbonon will go there Tumah on all the countries of the world except for Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if a person is preparing dough in Chutz La'aretz, in China, or in Kansas, he has to give two challahs. One challah is challah, but it's Tmeya, it's Tomei. What do we do with challah, which is Tomei? It's Tomei because it's in Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Ha'amim. Has to be burnt. The other challah, a second challah, is given to the Kohen. And this is really a zecher. This is so that people, Jews, should not forget the requirement of giving challah. So therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, you require that they actually give a second challah after they burn the first challah to the Kohen. What happens in Surya? Is it like Eretz Yisrael? One challah given to the Kohen? Not Tomei? Or is it Tomei, like all the other countries outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Chayef in two Chalos? So here we have a Machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shtei Chalos Basuria. Rabbi Gamliel, who says that Surya is more kind of like Chutz La'aretz, so therefore he would say that in Surya you give two Chalos. One L'ur, one to be burnt in the fire, and the other to the Kohen. Rabbi Eliezer says, Chalo Achas. Rabbi Eliezer follows his opinion that Surya is like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, the earth of Surya is not Tomei Ka'afar Eretz Ha'amim, and therefore, you only are mafrish one Chalo, giving it to the Kohen, as you would in Eretz Yisrael. So now it turns out that Rabbi Eliezer, who is machmir as far as Maasros and Shvius, is mekil, is more lenient, giving only one challah in Eretz Yisrael, in Surya. Rabbi Gamliel, who is more lenient when it comes to Maasros and Shvius, considering Surya to be Chutz La'aretz, is stricter when it comes to challah and requires two challahs. So originally, the original psak halacha was Ochazu kulo shel Rabbi Gamliel, followed Rabbi Gamliel's kula, and when it came to Masros and Shvius, exempted the person who was an oris in Surya from a goy to give Masros and Shvius, v'kulo shel Rabbi Eliezer. But when it came to Chalo, they were also lenient and required only one Chalo. However, Chozru, after a time, changed the halacha, linhog kedivrei Rabban Gamliel b'shtei derochim. They followed Rabban Gamliel in both cases, so that an oris who was a sharecropper for a goy's farm in Surya would be exempt from Masros and Shvius. That's a kula, a leniency. However, when it came to challah, they would follow Rabban Gamliel, and that would be a chumrah. They'd be obligated to do two challos in Surya. So this is Mishneh Zayin. Moving ahead to Mishneh Ches, we have the following background necessary. Min HaTorah, challah is only required to be given in Eretz Yisrael proper. As the Pasuk says, V'hoyo ba'acholchem milechem ho'oretz, from the bread of Eretz Yisrael. And even in Eretz Yisrael, the Min HaTorah, the obligation, was only given when, in a time in history when all the Jewish people were settled in Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Bevo Achem El Ho'oretz, and the drosha on the Gemara is, Bevo Achem, Bevias Kulchem, Velo Bevias Mitzaschem. When you all come and settle in Eretz Yisrael, then you give challah. Fine. However, as you know in history, the when the Jews captured Eretz Yisrael the first time, the Olei Mitzrayim, they did not capture every bit of Eretz Yisrael as it is described in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Maaseh. Captured much of it. Then went into Golos, they went into Bavel. When they returned from Bavel, the Olei Bavel did not even capture all of those territories which Olei Mitzrayim captured. The halacha remains that the first Kedusha, the Kedusha of the Olei Mitzrayim, Kedusha Rishono Kitsho L'Shato, V'lo Kitsho L'Osid Lovo. So the conquest of the Olei Mitzrayim is not a permanent conquest. And the land that they conquered does not remain fully Eretz Yisrael until the Olei Bavel came and recaptured some of it. But Olei Bavel recaptured, that remains Kadosh to this very day. Now, the Chachamim made a takona that we should be mafrish challah even in chutz la'aretz mamash, like China or Kansas, in order shelo tishtakach toras challah miYisrael. The Jews would go into Golos and settle in Poland and Morocco, in Kansas, in New York. They would forget about the mitzvah of challah if there was no requirement to give challah in chutz la'aretz as well. So now, we have the following three possibilities. In Chutz La'aretz Mamash, in Kansas, you give two challahs. One to be burnt, because it's Tomei, because Kansas is Tomei, Eretz Ha'amen. And one to be given to the Kohen, Shelo Tishtakach Toras Challah. Not to forget, when you're living in Kansas for centuries and centuries, that there's a mitzvah of challah. However, our Mishnah is speaking not of Chutz La'aretz, but of Eretz Yisrael proper, and not even of Surya. But the din of Eretz Yisrael, the full din of challah for Eretz Yisrael, is only in that region of Eretz Yisrael which was conquered by the Olei Bavel in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. But those lands which were conquered by the Olei Mitzrayim, by Yehoshua and his descendants, but were not recaptured in the time of the Aliyah from Bavel by Ezra and Nehemiah, then those places conduct themselves like Chutz La'aretz and are mafrish two challos. But there are differences in the requirements between the two challos, as we will see, which are given in those lands captured by Olei Mitzrayim, to those lands which were not captured by anyone, but which are Chutz La'aretz Gomor. Even if those places are not Chutz La'aretz Gomor, but are considered, are listed in the boundaries listed in Parshas Maaseh. But if they were never captured, not by Olei Mitzrayim, not by Olei Bavel, they have a din of Chutz La'aretz as far as challah is concerned. So in the lands which are described in Parshas Maaseh as being Eretz Yisrael, some were captured neither by Olei Mitzrayim, neither by Olei Bavel. They have halacha as far as challah is concerned, as Chutz La'aretz, they give two challahs. Then there are those lands which were captured by Olei Mitzrayim, but not by Olei Bavel. And then there was those lands that were even captured by Olei Bavel as well. So here we go. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Arotzos L'challah. Rabbi Gamliel says, in Eretz Yisrael, there are three different regions as far as challah is concerned. The Eretz Yisrael, the Yad Kiziv, from Eretz Yisrael proper, meaning what we call today the body of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, etc., from east to west, all that southern section of Eretz Yisrael, going all the way north to Chaziv. Chaziv is north of Akko, and is listed in Yehoshua Perek Yutes as one of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. So that all that territory was recaptured by the Olei Bavel, up to Chaziv, but not including Chaziv itself. Chaziv itself was not captured by Olei Bavel. So in that territory, which is Eretz Yisrael proper, in the boundaries of Maaseh, captured by Olei Mitzrayim, and recaptured again by Olei Bavel, reconquered again by Olei Bavel, there, that is bona fide Eretz Yisrael, one challah given to the Kohen, period. However, north from Kiziv, which is not captured by Olei Bavel, Viad HaNohor, until the river, there is a river today in southern Lebanon called Kasmia. And that river is north of Chaziv. And that is the river which is suggested by contemporary poskim to be the river in question here in the Mishnah. So from Chaziv until that river, the Ad Amono, and until Amono, Amono is a mountain against in southern Lebanon today, which is also known in the Mishnah as Turei Amnon. In other words, all that section from Kiziv north of Akko and further north, these were captured by Olei Mitzrayim, but not reconquered by Olei Bavel. So therefore, they are not bona fide Eretz Yisrael. And there, shtei chalos, there you have to set aside two chalos, achas la'ur v'achas la'koeh, one to be burnt, because it's Tomei, Chalot Tomeiah, that is considered Eretz HaAmim, and the other to the Kohen, was given to the Kohen, Mitakonas Chachomim, so that people should not say, hey, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I saw Chalot Tahora being burnt, because after all, they would think that the Chalot in that land is part of Eretz Yisrael, and it's being burned, so therefore some Chalot has to be given to the Kohen. Both are Takonas Chachomim. The Mishnah continues and says, Shel Ur Yesh Lo Shir. The one which is being given into the fire has to be given the minimum requirement of 1/48, because this is considered the Ikor Chalo, the main Chalo. It's Tomei, but it's from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it has to be burnt. The one given to the Kohen, that is only a symbolic requirement, mitakonas chachomim, and therefore you don't have to give 1/48, but only whatever you want, en lashir, even a mashahu, even a little bit. But that's the region number two, which is Eretz Yisrael, the north of Akko, Chaziv, and further north, until the Nohor, until Amono. There, it's kind of 50-50. It's Eretz Yisrael, but not Eretz Yisrael. Conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, but not by Olei Bavel. Min hanohor umin amonov lifnim. But suppose you go into an area which was not even conquered by Olei Mitzrayim. It has a din completely, as far as Chala is concerned, as Chutz La'oretz. There you are mafrish te chalos, also two chalos. Achas la'ur, one for the fire, v'achas la'kohen, and one for the kohen. Shel ur, but here it's the reverse. Here, the bit that's given to the fire, that's put in the fire, shel ur, ein lo shir, it's just a token. Vishel kohen yesh lo shir. What you give to the kohen, you should give 1/48. Because here, the takona is that you should remember, even living in chutz la'oretz, in a land which was conquered neither by Olei Mitzrayim and neither by Olei Bavel, you should remember the halachos of Chala. So we require 1/48 to be given to the Kohen. The Mishnah continues, Utevul Yom Ochla. Here you have various meforshim. Some say, looking in the Bar Tanura, some say that this Tevul Yom Ochla, remember what a Tevul Yom is? A Tevul Yom in this case is a Kohen, who was Tomei and who already went to the mikveh from his Tumah, but the sun has not yet set on his final day, on his seventh day of his Tumah. There has not yet been Harif Shemesh. So such a Kohen can eat, according to the Bartanura and some Rishonim, the challah from the fire. Instead of putting it in the fire, he can eat it, because it's only midrabanon, and therefore they are mekel. Others say that the Mishnah means not that he can eat from the fire, but the challah that he was given to the Kohen, he can eat it even in his state of Tevul Yom. Because even though challah from Eretz Yisrael cannot be eaten by a Tevul Yom, the Kohen has to wait until Erev Shemesh. But here, it's Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Here, it's only there. It's only to remember the inyan of challah. But it's not bona fide challah. A Kohen can eat it, even if he's not fully Tomei, but kind of partially Tomei. He's a Tevul Yom. He has gone to the mikveh. He can eat the challah, even though the sun has not yet set. It's not yet nightfall after his days of Tumah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzorech Tefillah. Rabbi Yossi goes further and says, even if he hadn't gone to the mikveh, but he is Tomei Mamush, doesn't make a difference. As long as the Tumah is not what's called a Tumah Hayotza Migufo, as long as the Tumah came from something outside of his body, he touched the sheretz, for example. Right? So he's Tomei, but even though he didn't go to the mikveh, he can eat this challah, which is essentially challah schutz l'oretz. However, if it's a tumah hayotza migufa, if the tumah is something which came out of the body of the person is a zav or a zava or a nida or a yoldis, and is tomei because of the blood which came out of that person, that tumah is considered stricter, and a kohen cannot even eat challah schutz l'oretz if he is in that state of tome. So that's the strictness. V'ne'echeles im hazor al hashulchan. Normally, you have to be careful with chalas eretz Yisrael not to eat on the same table your sandwich if you're a Kohen eating challah with a zor, with a non-Kohen sandwich, because the non-Kohen might reach and take a crumb from you when you're a Kohen eating challah. Can't be done. However, in this case, it's okay. The zor has to be careful not to eat the chalas chutz l'aretz, but you don't have to be so careful as to eat on separate tables. V'nitenes l'chol kohen, a further leniency, chalas eretz Yisrael you only give to a kohen whom you know is a kohen chover, knows the halachos of tumah v'tara, and will be careful how he treats this chala. However, this chalas chutz l'aretz you can give to any kohen. I want to mention, although again, studying Mishnayos is not the study of halacha l'maisa, but halacha l'maisa nowadays, in Chutz La'aretz, we do not give two chalos, one to the fire and one to the Kohen, because we feel nowadays we have no Kohen who is a Kohen miyuchas. We're not sure of any Kohen that he really is a Kohen, and therefore we only give one challah and we give it to the fire, so to speak. We burn it, because in Chutz La'aretz, we are all considered Tomei, the challah is Tomei, so you put aside some challah, not necessarily 1/48, excuse me, but just a little bit, and you put it in the fire and burn it, and that's how you makayim the mitzvah of challah nowadays. But again, to review the Mishnah, in the Mishnah's time, challahs chutz la'aretz was two challahs, one for the Ur and one for the Kohen. And so we have finished lesson number 18.